This is 1A. I'm Joshua Johnson in Washington. Back in 2012, Congress passed the Magnitsky Act. It was named after a 37-year-old Russian lawyer who died in prison while investigating a massive corruption scheme involving the Kremlin. The Magnitsky Act placed sanctions on Russians suspected of human rights violations. Russia retaliated in part by banning U.S. adoptions. Russian efforts to get the act repealed go to the heart of the current investigation into a meeting between a group of Russians and Donald Trump Jr., along with other associates of President Trump. In a moment, you'll hear from Bill Browder. He was the man who hired Sergei Magnitsky to investigate why the Russian police had raided and seized his company. First, let's get a perspective from Russia. Edward Lozansky is president of American University in Moscow and a professor at the National Research Nuclear University and Moscow State University. He joins us from his home near Moscow. Edward Lozansky, welcome to 1A.
My pleasure.
You know, here in the U.S., you can't go an hour without hearing something about the Russia investigation. How big a story is this in Moscow right now? If I turn on the TV news, how much do you think I would hear?
Well, I think it's major news continues because today, for example, everyone is talking about vote in the House of Representatives about this new sanctions bill. So all major news TV stations and radio, they all talk about United States. And, you know, it's not very complimentary, of course, conversation.
Right.
Sometimes it's really pretty scary. So is it even a talk about possible military confrontation, which is pretty dangerous and scary.
When you say scary, you mean in terms of the possibility that these sanctions, which the House is expected to vote on today, might prompt a military response from Russia? Or can you clarify that for me?
Well, the thing is that everyone expected here that when with Trump in the White House, there'll be some way for rapprochement, that U.S. and Russia will find some way to work together. First of all, of course, in the war on terror, and slowly moving to other things. Now, since this new sanctions bill more or less prevents Trump to do anything which would remotely qualify as rapprochement, the hope for better relations now fading, and then what we're going to do? We have U.S. and Russia military in Syria, and at least this one, something we have small success. This is something which is a result of Trump-Putin meeting in Hamburg, and looks like this ceasefire is holding, which is good. But other things are not so good, and this new sanctions, it's something which more or less people are losing hope that relations will improve in the nearest future.
We're speaking to Edward Lozansky, president of American University in Moscow, which we should note is not affiliated with American University here in Washington. We are only speaking with him for the first segment of this program, so we welcome your questions and thoughts right away before we move on to the next part of our program. Email 1A at WAMU.org, comment on our Facebook page, or tweet us at 1A. It seems like from what you're saying that the Russian people were going into this year with President Trump as the new American president, hopefully, but the discord in Congress, the disagreement perhaps including things like sanctions, is kind of weakening that a bit. I think some of that maybe drives at the heart of concerns that some Americans have that President Trump and President Putin may be trying to forge a relationship that doesn't bode well for the U.S. There's real concern about whether or not President Trump and President Putin are getting, for lack of a better word, too cozy. How do you see it from your perspective?
Well, opinion here is, and actually I share this opinion, I'm a U.S. citizen, and I think that for United States, it would be much better to have Russia on our side. And this is what many Russians and many Americans actually were hoping, that with the end of communism, Russia and United States will become, if not allies like Britain or some European countries, but at least strategic partners. And this was the hope. This was hope for many, I mean, in the 90s, maybe early 2000, but then this hope now has disappeared. With Trump, there was another hope that maybe Trump will be able to repair this damage which was done by three previous administrations. Everyone thinks that Russia was always ready to become American ally, starting with Gorbachev, and then Yeltsin, and then Putin, Medvedev, and Putin again. Everyone, one of those people, were extending hand to the United States, and this hand was rebuffed, and all the Russians' suggestions for joint European home security architecture, working with the United States on terror and other things, it looks like the United States is not interested. And this is pretty sad for me personally, because I was the one who was actually working very hard to achieve this U.S.-Russia alliance traveled back and forth between Washington and Moscow, bringing proposals from Russian side to Washington back and forth. Now I see that all our hopes are more or less now not materializing.
You know, it's interesting being here in the U.S. and seeing some of the coverage, for example, of Vladimir Putin when he gives interviews to Megyn Kelly on NBC or Oliver Stone on Showtime or even the 60 Minutes interview he gave years ago, and kind of hearing him speak, it's interesting getting that perspective. But just as an American, it feels like we're dealing with someone who doesn't seem A, trustworthy, B, aligned with America's interests, really, and C, with a lot of dealings around the world, like his actions in Crimea, that just feel shady. How can Americans believe that Vladimir Putin and his government are to be trusted? It just doesn't seem like that relationship is compatible.
Well, you see, this would require more than like 10 minutes or whatever we have.
For sure, yeah, right.
We have to go back into history. The only thing which we can maybe have a few minutes to talk about is how it all started. When Putin came to the Kremlin, he became president in 2001. His first action was to help the United States in Afghanistan. And as a result of this help, U.S. probably didn't lose any soldier, and Taliban was defeated basically in no time. And then Putin said, well, let's move one step further. Let's work on other things. Let's build a strong alliance. But George Bush was not interested. And first reaction from George Bush was simply to abrogate ABM Treaty, which was a cornerstone of security. And then all those things about NATO expansion, democracy promotion. So Putin felt betrayed. And the same thing with other presidents, with Clinton and with Obama. At least this is something that, since I go back and forth, I can see reaction and news and all the opinion makers here in Russian. Even now, after all this harassment, accusation of Russia's interference, which they deny, and we can talk about this for a long time. But even now, Putin ends his conversation that he wants America to be a partner, a friend, and he never goes to say name-calling, something that U.S. media is using against him. He never goes this line. He still wants to be a U.S. partner, and it's up to the United States whether we want Putin as a partner or whether we want him as a friend or as a foe.
Let me get to a tweet from one of our listeners. Donna tweeted, "Rapprochement isn't achieved by only one side acting. Russia leaving Ukraine would achieve a lot." What do you think?
Well, Ukraine, it's a long story, but I think what was a mistake here is that it's not probably the United States, although U.S. also played some role, it's Europe, EU. Why they decided to incorporate Ukraine into EU without taking into account any concern of Russia? Because the ties between Russia and Ukraine are so close, family ties, historical ties, economic ties, religious ties.
Right, no, I get that. But Ukraine, if Ukraine is a sovereign nation and decides to become a larger part of the European community over Russia's objections, shouldn't Russia just respect that?
Of course. But what Russia suggested is, why don't we have like trilateral union? Why don't we have Europe, Ukraine, and Russia? I think it would be logical. If this would, Europe would accept it, and the United States maybe would put some pressure on Europe to do that, then there would be no war. Crimea still will be part of Ukraine. There will be no Donbass. There will be no war. No 10,000 people killed and economy destroyed. Mm-hmm. It was logical thing to have trilateral. Well, sometimes you have to have realities. Almost every Russian family has Ukrainian relative and vice versa. So why do we want to break those ties instead of having three parts union instead of simply telling Russia, you go away, we work with Ukraine?
I feel like there's a lot more we could discuss here. Our time is very, very short. We got a number of people commenting about the election and election meddling. I know that investigation is still ongoing. Very, very briefly, what do you think is step one to improving this U.S.-Russia relationship, to building more trust on both sides? Briefly.
Well, very briefly, is that we have to have a strong congressional delegation from the United States and Russian parliament sit down, and simply each side should present its grievances, its proposals, and then allow Trump and Putin to do their work. At this point, U.S. Congress doesn't want this. And I want to emphasize that U.S. Congress has only 20% approval rating among American people. So why Congress wants to take over U.S. foreign policy and doesn't allow President Trump to do his job?
Edward Lozansky, president of American University in Moscow, professor at the National Research Nuclear University and Moscow State University. Professor Lozansky, I really appreciate your time, sir. Thank you very much for talking to us.
My pleasure.
We'll continue in just a moment. I'm Joshua Johnson. You're listening to 1A from WAMU and NPR.